Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So picking through this column by Zach Lowe, ESPN, posted last night. The enormous risks and stakes driving the NBA safety discussions as they're trying to get the bubble environment underway a little more than a month from now down in Orlando. And I mentioned that there's some executives that are worried about, you know, how these games are going to be played and the effort level. This also stuck out to me, Chris, in this column. He writes that there are those worried that teams down 2-0 in the first round with no home games looming will not bring what we are accustomed to seeing as backs against the wall effort. Zach writes editorially, I have more faith in players feeling the usual competitive juices, but that line of thought is out there. Do you agree with that? Because I do. I can understand that. Like, and this is the thing for any of these sports that return with no fans. At some point, I'm not going to blame any of these guys. I'd look around and be like, well, this is kind of fake. I'm going to half-ass this, especially if you're down 2-0 in a series, three-game series. Yeah, like, I'll just show up. I'll get my paycheck, but otherwise I'm good. You know, I can completely understand that. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make... But I get it. I completely get it from a human standpoint, just like how guys will feel about this thing.
Yeah, well, especially if, you know, you're on a team, you feel like you don't really have a chance to win a championship or anything, and you don't like being in the bubble, and you have health and safety concerns. Yeah, I mean, I could completely see that taking place. And but that's part of the risk on the NBA side, on the business side of trying to restart this. I mean, let's be real about it. The players, the coaches, all the team personnel, they're the ones taking most of the risk. But from the standpoint of Adam Silver and the owners and, you know, those folks with the NBA, the risk that they take, much lesser risk, is that, yeah, that the product's not as good and that the product, the integrity of the product is somehow dampened or hampered in some way by this setup.
And talking about how this thing could spread, just this game alone, it's like I can understand why a player would be like, you know what, this is... I don't want to catch this. Who knows what it's going to end up doing to me? I'm good. He writes here, basketball, not tennis or golf. Sports of natural physical distance. It takes place indoors where air recirculates, even with no fans and limited media. Sweaty players will bump together for hours at a time. Steve Mooney, an assistant professor of epidemiology at the University of Washington, said, the players are going to be breathing hard on each other, which seems likely to be able to transmit the virus based on what we know. If one player gets sick, I'd expect the others will too. Several experts cited a study from South Korea that showed the virus spread much more easily in high-intensity exercise classes, heavy on rapid breathing, than in yoga classes taught by an instructor with coronavirus. Some within the league have speculated that a huge gym, empty of fans, with a very high ceiling, will not carry the same risk of transmission as an office building. Experts conceded rooms with low ceilings and recirculating air are probably worse, but cautioned against attaching too much significance to ceiling height. So, like, for so much of this, I think it's okay to say, Chris, like, they just don't know. Like, people
don't know.
You know? So... I don't know. I think the more I read about this, and not just the Kyrie thing and how he can throw a wrench into everything, but just from the science alone, I just don't think that this is still a lock that any of these sports get underway, but specifically the NBA and them trying to get back, the way that the game is played, how these guys breathe on each other. I don't think it's a lock that they're back in the bubble city and playing games, you know, heading into August here.
No, and you know, I didn't feel that way before. I think sometimes you see what's happening and you see the train sort of leaving the station and you forget about what we're talking about, which is restarting a sports league during a pandemic. And it's interesting because you're seeing what's happening in Europe. La Liga began this week in Spain, the top league in Spain. The Bundesliga has been ongoing in Germany, and the Premier League is going to start the 17th, I believe. So what you're seeing there, obviously smaller countries, but they are playing matches at the team's stadiums, and there is some traveling involved. And I'm starting to wonder, is that better than putting everybody in a bubble, putting everybody together? You know, I don't know. I mean, I assume it's not. They've spoken with health officials. There's a reason you're doing the bubble thing. But everybody being in the same place, and when I say everybody, I mean like everybody, you know, all the players, is that really safer than if they're just traveling?
Yeah. And
in and out?
I don't know. And I don't know. And that's, you know, how this thing wraps up here. This is you know, one of the guys that's one of the doctors that Zach Lowe spoke to in this column. If this doesn't go well, the fallout will not be positive for anyone. They want to protect their players, but an outbreak would be really hard to deal with. If it would have long-term consequences. Fair or not, people will look back retrospectively and ask, did we have to do this? And that's maybe the biggest risk of all for any of these leagues that return. If something goes wrong here and there is a massive spread and, you know, worst case scenario, someone gets, you know, incredibly sick or even passes away, I mean, the repercussions are going to be long-lasting is putting it mildly. Like, there will be an upheaval, you know, it'll be madness.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I don't think we as a society need any more of that right now. But, you know, I do think that they now have to be kind of shaken a little bit here. I understand you want to try to get things up and running. You want to try to get back to business. We all kind of are, right? I think that that's okay to do here. But you really got to weigh this. And I'm not going to be shocked if not just some of the players, that some of the owners are really looking at this now and be like, oh, boy. Is this risk even really worth it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always risky. We knew it would be risky to sort of restart, but it's just funny because it felt like basketball was, like, buttoned up a few days ago.
I know.
And now
it's just all falling apart.
Yeah, it feels like we're in a completely different place. And to tie it back to Kyrie, again, if you were hearing more sort of health and safety concerns coming from him, I think that's completely legitimate. I know there are some mental health concerns about guys being in the bubble, and the NBA has been at the forefront of professional sports leagues trying to bring attention to and trying to initiate the discussion about the mental health of athletes. So I could see that going on, and I could see, you know, even in my opinion, maybe some more legitimate concerns about how players will be able to participate and make their voices heard in the discussion for social justice reform. But, you know, it sort of seems to balance down to Kyrie basically saying, like, you know, the system is rigged. These guys are out to get us. We shouldn't play. It seems to lack the nuance of the discussion that we're actually having right now about some of these issues. And I've said to you before, I do think that for a lot of the players that maybe are having second thoughts and have sort of engaged with Kyrie, that they're probably thinking about life in that bubble. And I don't think a lot of these guys want to do it, whether it's a health and safety thing, whether it's just the restrictions on the freedom of movement, whether it's being away from your family. I think there are guys that have some serious reservations about that part of restarting basketball. And I think, honestly, that's probably driving this a lot more than some of the things that Kyrie is trying to put out there.
B-Rob, what are you hearing, at least just on the Celtics side of things? I mean, some of these guys are now back at the Auerbach Center practicing. It does look, at least a little bit on the surface, like they're going to be back. But have you heard any change or talked to any players in the last few days as to this thing maybe falling apart?
I haven't, Jim. And if you look at just the scope of, you know, 80 people on that call kind of sounds impressive on the surface, but the whole league was invited to that. And the whole league's like 450 players. So, and you look at some of the bigger names speaking out there. Donovan Mitchell is a bigger name, but then like guys like Dwight Howard, Avery Bradley, like they don't really have, you know, they're not LeBron, they're not Kawhi Leonard, they're not the big names here. So I think as long as the, you know, Kyrie can be the disruptor like we've talked about here, but I don't think enough big names are falling in line behind him to actually think that this, you know, movement is going to go somewhere to like not play games.
That's a good point. You know, so while that does sound like a large number, it really isn't the most prominent guys in the league, Chris. You know, so LeBron not being part of this and him. So, again, this was from The Athletic. LeBron James not on the call, doesn't agree with his former teammates' view. Shocker. James believes resuming the season will not affect his ability to inspire meaningful societal change. B-Rob mentions Kawhi Leonard. Like, it isn't, it's not the cream of the crop that was involved with this. So I guess if you do get those guys back, does it really matter if your lower-tiered stars really aren't involved? I think in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it does as much. As long as you have your, you know, you have someone like LeBron, you have Kawhi Leonard, you know, you have Jason Tatum for the Celtics involved, then ultimately it'll be okay. You can't expect everyone to be part of this anyway, even before this phone call took part.
Yeah, it's just, do you have enough players there to sort of derail the NBA or the MBPA moving forward with this? You know, that's really the question. Do you have enough players to do that? And I just want to bring up, too, we've talked a lot about the health and safety, which I think is legitimate. And just one thing that Michelle Roberts pointed out, the head of the union, is that players do have the right to opt out of this. I mean, the NBA has built that in. It's built into the agreement that guys that don't want to go, they cannot go. So if you have a, you know, a health and safety concern, or you're in a situation where you just don't want to do the bubble, it's not like they're forcing guys to go. You can opt out.
Yeah, and they're not going to be docked their full pay. That's the thing. I mean, you know, realistically, they should lose some money for not participating and playing games, but it's not like they're going to be banished, you know, from ever playing again and lose all of their salary. That's just not the case. So, again, I get it. Whether it's because of the health reasons or social justice reasons, and guys want to be out there pounding the pavement, being part of protests, like I get it. I'm all for it. But my bigger thing is with Kyrie Irving, wrong messenger. You want me to take the message seriously? I need to hear it, like this kind of thing, and from a LeBron James or someone that hasn't said the things that Kyrie Irving has said in the past, and who feels like just like a tinfoil hat nut job to me. Oh God. And who, again, more than anything else, Chris, outside of how I feel about him personally, he's not playing. You're not playing. You're injured. You're not participating in what this setup is going to be. I don't think you should have that much of a voice, if at all. It should be players who are actually going to play. 617-779-0985. Want to join us on the Kyrie Irving subject. We have an update on the NHL. Seems like they've found one of their bubble cities. We'll get to that coming up next here. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gas from Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So an update on the NHL's return. As teams clear to practice, Bruins back, you know, skating out at Warrior Ice Arena. Just basically a couple of guys on the ice at the same time. You had the news yesterday, an unnamed player tested positive, was asymptomatic for COVID-19. So they're going to now be quarantined. But the NHL trying to inch back. But one of the things that hasn't been known, Chris, are what the hub cities are going to be. They still have been not selected what the two hub cities are. But last night, got news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, who was reporting the NHL announced June 22nd. Whether Las Vegas will be a hub city to host the Stanley Cup playoffs, according to a source familiar with the planning process. Until then, and this leads me to believe why it is going to end up being Vegas, hotels are being blocked off. MGM Resorts International plans to keep some hotels not currently open to the public off the market so that one or more could be available to host visiting teams after July 1st. MGM Resorts in play to host visiting teams include Vidara. God, it's been ages since I've been to Vegas.
Yeah, I haven't been to Vegas in a long time. I've never even heard of that.
Vidara, Delano. I thought that was in Miami. The Park MGM, Nomad Hotel, and the Mirage. Like, it's,
I only know the Mirage out of those.
Right, same here. The league has reportedly asked for eight. So, if I was a player, I'd be pissed about this.
Okay.
The league reportedly has asked for a non-gaming, non-smoking hotel, fine. Like, butts are so 90s, who cares about cigarettes? But non-gaming? Leaving Vidara and Delano as the two most likely resorts to house the teams and their support staffs. Two hotels probably would be required to meet the needs of the visiting teams. Goes on to say COVID-19 testing also a requirement. In effect, the teams would be largely quarantined in their strip resorts, where they will eat, sleep, and reside between being shuttled to and from the T-Mobile Arena, which is co-owned by MGM. NHL officials and MGM Resorts reps have declined to comment on these reports. A league official said, "We have nothing new to announce with respect to return to play at this time." Blah, 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 blah. But if you're holding off these, if you're blocking these hotels, it leads me to believe they're one of the leaders in the clubhouse and this is going to happen. But just going back to that one, like non-gaming. So this is where I'm with, you know, some of these players looking at some of these environments, the NBA, they were Orlando, or the NHL, with any of these environments. Like, okay, you want me to be quarantined in these hotels and in Vegas where... You know, a lot of people obviously go to gamble, and I'm just going to be shuttled to and from, back and forth, hotel to the arena, arena to the hotel, and that's basically it. You're not going to let me gamble? I get it. Less bodies, less chance of transmission. Can you open a few damn tables so I can go downstairs at some point when I get bored out of my mind? And I want to
just play the slots.
Yeah, okay, so fine. You don't even have to have man tables. My understanding is, I hope I'm not talking too much out of school. Like, look, I can't wait for the Encore to open, or at least that's how I felt. But I heard poker's not going to be coming back because of how many people actually sit at a table. They don't really have a good setup. So, you know, it's going to, the new normal, it's going to be different. But, you know, maybe I'll just go for blackjack. Like, not everything's going to be the same, so you're not going to have all these table games. Yeah. But open up a few. Put up a blackjack table, or someone wants to play roulette or something, pie-gal poker, something. So and just limit how many people go to the table. Or like you just said, Chris, just have some damn slot machine so guys can go kill some time. That's ridiculous. No gaming? That makes no sense to me.
But the one thing you didn't mention in that plan, though, what is the shuttle service going to be for strippers and escorts who are rendezvousing with the players?
Right.
How will that shuttle service work, and who is going to be in charge of it?
Yeah, the pimps, that's who. I would imagine there's a lot of out-of-work working girls in Las Vegas right now that are clamoring for the NHL to go to Las Vegas. So,
they're going to have a lot of time to kill, so they have time to kill, a lot of money, and a hotel room.
Yeah, if you're not going to let me gamble, I'm going to spend my money and my time doing a whole lot of doing. I've been trying to search for this. You said you saw on Sportsnet Canada there's another leader in the clubhouse for what the second city
Will
be.
I have a story up here. Chris Johnson, very plugged in reporter, Sportsnet CA, you know, the Canadians, they know everything about the NHL.
Right.
Basically saying that ideally the NHL would like the other bubble city to be a Canadian city. Toronto is the preferred destination. But the holdup here is the current protocol of the Canadian government when it comes to people entering the country. Right now, they are requiring anybody who enters from outside the country to subject themselves to a 14-day quarantine. So I think the NHL is trying to work with the Canadian government probably to see, will they lessen that? Or is there a way around it? Is there an exemption? Is there an exception for NHL players?
Yeah, I said a while back when, I'm for the protest, not the rioting. When it felt there for a while, like it really felt like, oh, this is tipping into pure madness.
Yeah.
I said if I was the NHL, I would say, you know what, screw America. We're taking this thing to Canada. Like if I can't ensure, just looking at it and say, like if things are going to be really chaotic in some of these major cities, I know they were maybe looking at Chicago. Like if it's
How would that work, though? Because the Vancouver people rioted after they lost the Stanley Cup.
No, that's fair.
You know?
But
it wasn't, you know. They weren't participating in looting and rioting attached to, you know, social justice reform. It was like, our team lost the Stanley Cup.
Let's burn the city down.
Yeah, exactly.
But if there was concerns about player safety, let's just say, like, and even just trying to go, you know, say, you know, someone saw the bus heading from the hotel to the to the stadium and was like, you should be out here in the streets helping us and get pelted with rocks or whatever. I was just thinking, like, maybe I was being too overdramatic about it. Yeah. But at that point...
Well, which bus? The one with the players or the one with the escorts and strippers?
Either or.
Okay.
You hoes should be out here pounding the streets. Black Lives Matter. They're like, meanwhile, Jerry Jones holding the sign like, whore lives matter. so they...
Man. He probably would do that. Yeah. He would do that before he said Black Lives Matter. I think that's pretty clear.
Without question.
Thanks, Jera.
All I need is my whiskey and whores. Whore lives matter. Ass in the air instead of the fist. So I just thought, like, you know what? Get out of America. Take this thing to Canada. But you have all these restrictions and rules. And it doesn't feel like Justin Trudeau, the prime minister there, was going to really change anything.
Maybe if they offer him a haircut, he'll relinquish the quarantine.
Maybe if he'll admit that Fidel Castro is his real dad. I don't mean to come off as Kyrie Irving, but let me tell you, if there's one conspiracy that I buy into, do you know this?
No.
Oh, was it Margaret Trudeau, I believe, was his mom's name? Apparently, back in the day, Margaret Trudeau, Justin Trudeau's mom, bit of a party girl, like a Vegas party girl, if you will. Like to get after it. Hung with the Rolling Stones at their in their heyday when they're
that's
at
awesome.
Craziest.
That's
oh yeah, yeah.
Cool.
And she went down to Cuba at the time, and there's photos of it, like hung with Fidel Castro, and turns out she came back pregnant, or not too long ago after that. And do yourself a favor. And again, I don't want to come off as a crazy Kyrie Irving conspiracy theorist. So
okay, because you kind of are.
I know. But Google Justin Trudeau, young Fidel Castro. Tell me the difference. Get back to me if you haven't seen the photos, because they look exactly the same. So there is a timeline where Margaret Trudeau, again, goes down to Cuba.
Okay.
Hangs with Fidel
Castro.
Is she
married at this point?
Oh, yeah, but party girl. Like, it's just, you know, she's out and about and loving it. Apparently the old, you know, the husband was either didn't have a choice or didn't really care that much. She came back, ended up, knocked up, had the kid, looks just like a young Fidel Castro. Anyway, sidetracked.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks,
Kyrie.
what does Justin Trudeau mean to you, man? He was really a revolutionary. He's got Castro's blood in him. I'm telling you, though, they look exactly the same. I would like, in theory, like, I think it should be. Look, it's Canada's sport anyway, yeah. If we're being completely honest. Like, and just in terms of, you know, getting eyeballs on it, interest, I think one of these bubble cities should be in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Likely Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto or Vancouver. But, those are great, both. Those are two great cities.
Well, how about places in the middle of nowhere? Like, basically in the middle of nowhere. Calgary, Winnipeg, something like that.
No. Yeah, we don't need to do that.
I'd be for that. I just, with these rules and the 14-day quarantine, it doesn't feel like they're going to come off of it. I just don't see how that's even feasible to end up happening. But at least it feels like they're making headway with the Vegas thing. I still, if I was one of the players, I'd be pissed about the no gaming. But I guess, like Chris said, you make up that time.
Oh, yeah.
And boredom.
Yeah, there'll be a shuttle. There'll be lots of shuttle buses.
With a lot of
I mean, they might not have the NHL logo on them, and they might not be official, but lots of shuttle buses there.
Open up all aboard the Crazy Horse 2 bus. Where are you heading? To the Delano. Off we go, hoes. Meanwhile, a little limo behind them. It's Jerry Jones. Follow that bus. Got a trunk full of whiskey. I need to get me these whores. 617-779-0985 is the phone number if you would like to join us at any point to discuss Kyrie Irving and his crazy phone call with 80 players last night, including WNBA players, and the NHL's return as well. 617-779-0985. It's Casper Murray at 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Casper and Murray. Casper and Murray. Casper and Murray. Casper and Murray. On 98.5. This is Casper and Murray. You will listen. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gaspar and Mari, 98.5, the Sports Hub. See, Chris just did a deep dive on Margaret Trudeau on the old Google there. Did an image search while we were in commercials.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very attractive woman back in the day, but a party girl. Used to go to Studio 54. Hung with the bands, and then found herself in Cuba. And 9 months later, out comes Justin Trudeau. Just saying. And you do that Google search, you put her name in. What was the third thing that came up, Chris? Wasn't just like her wiki page.
No, it was like amazing. Like the third thing that came, I just hit Margaret Trudeau, you know, on Google. And the third thing that came up was Margaret Trudeau Castro.
And if she was going to Studio 54, let me tell you, you youngs. If there's, that's one of the, like, this one of my favorite stories, the documentaries about that place, the stories of Steve Rebell and Ian Traeger, the guys who started Studio 54, and all the shadiness they were up to. If I could go back in one time and maybe do one thing, it wouldn't be for the good of humanity. It would be so I could go to Studio 54 one night, where all, like, what a den of iniquity that place was. Oh, God. And if she was going there, what was she up to? Oh, we all know, if you know the history of Studio 54. But either way, the NH...
Can I just ask you,
yes.
Before you go on to serious sports talk, but... What do you think it would have been like if Jerry Jones went to Studio 54?
Oh, no. You mean this room? I get to do whores, and there's copious amounts of cocaine? You could sign me right up. But then again, he would show up the way he looks and carries himself. I mean, he was basically like a good old boy bro. They're not letting him in.
You don't think so?
No.
With the oil money?
Nah.
In the late 70s, early 80s? I mean, he was a dashing fellow.
Yeah, but he was never cool. Yeah, would you ever equate Jerry Jones with cool? Like, money doesn't buy cool.
But you got to remember, around that time, right, Because when did Studio 54 close? It like closed and 80, then it didn't it reopen.
As, yeah, and it was never the same.
It was never the same.
81 maybe around that time.
I'm just trying to think, like, when did the show Dallas come out? Because that might have been like,
oh, right.
You know,
I
like,
think that was 83.
Okay, all right.
Dallas TV show, because I mean, this is the kind of trivia I should know.
Yeah.
Oh, holy crap, Dallas, 78.
See, okay. I'm telling you, Jerry Jones with the oil money.
All right.
I think he would have gotten in. I think Jerry Jones would have gotten in.
Studio 50. So, I mean, it was up and running, obviously. It had its height in 78. Studio 54, blah, 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 ran from when to when? 1940s. Like, come on, give me the real information. Nightclub era began in 1976. Yeah, to about 79, closed 81, end of the first era, right around 80.
Jerry was getting in there.
Jerry Jones probably would have got in. All right, I stand corrected. You ever see Dallas? I'm the living embodiment of it. Yeah, but you're not cool, Jerry. We can't let you in. This is a place for, like, the party people and the C&B scene. I got all the money in the world. Let me in. I just need to do all that cocaine and whores. Oh, yeah, no. At the height, okay. So if Dallas is around then, yep. He's getting into Studio 54. That's probably happening. Let's go to Frank the Tank. First, get a wellness check, and then your thoughts on the NHL in Vegas. Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm good. I'm chomping at the bit here for the NHL to start, for really any sport to, you know, as my Irish buddy would say, quit your betching and just get on with it. You know, like, get it going. Like, start something up, boys. You know, work it out. You know, Jim, money might not buy you cool, but it buys you the whores and it gets you through the doors. So,
yeah, that's true.
He's in there. I mean, he's in there and he's doing whatever. He's seeing a man about a dog.
Well, he built his own Studio 54 on wheels. It's that Cowboys bus.
That's right. I call it Studio 50 Whores.
Hey, man, I wouldn't mind catching a ride on that bus. But look, you know, with the NHL thing, you know, I'm glad that they're, you know, in talks and starting to move. Like, at this point, I could care less if they play it on the dark side of the moon. Like, just get it going, start getting the teams going. But the thing, the one thing that, you know, kind of frustrates me is, like, all right, NHL, you want to put the guys in these cities and you want to keep them, you know, secluded from their families and whatever, and that's fine. And I guess maybe the players really shouldn't whine too much about that. It, you know, you're getting everything going, you're getting the playoffs going, and you really want to play, and your sport is hemorrhaging money, as we all know. But my God, at the same time, like, the NHL, you know, commissioners or whatever you want to call them, they really ought to start thinking about it from a player's point of view as well. Like, how is that going to affect the play on the ice if these guys can't go, you know, after a game and, you know, blow off some steam? Because, you know, some of these games are going to have to be, you know, staggered in time. You're going to have at least three games a day wherever you're going to be at. So whoever plays, like, in the first game, you know, afterwards, you know, they might want to unwind a little bit, you know, take precaution. Don't be a Tyler Seguin who, had he had stayed in his hotel maybe a little bit, the Bruins would have won another cup.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's something that the NHL should consider about giving these guys a little bit of an outlet here and there, and, you know, let them blow off some steam. And the players have to also understand, you know, your sport more than any of the others is probably hemorrhaging more money. So, like I said, if you got to play it in Canada, you got to play it in Vegas, if you got to play it in Timbuktu, you know, kind of shut your trap. Go play, and, you know, hopefully it doesn't affect the product on the ice.
Thanks, Frank. I can understand why any of these guys have some reluctance, though, to go whatever sport we're talking about, to whatever bubble city we're talking about, Chris. At some point, they're worried about, like, them completely losing their minds. And I know the argument against this is, well, like, well, I mean, think of the hotels they're staying in and all the amenities that they have. Doesn't matter. At some point, being there for months on end, and it's just the same. If it's literally just bus to venue, venue to bus, time and time and time and time again, and you're truly quarantined to that one hotel, I don't care if you get to go downstairs, or even if there were table games to be played or slot machines. At some point, I know me, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm about to lose it. Like, you've got to.
Yeah, you would lose it.
You either have to give these guys a little more freedom to move around, or you have to, at least, and not every player is going to be on board with this, because some guys are going to take the take COVID far more seriously than others. I mean, you see this in society right now with all of us. You know, some people take it more seriously than others, for better or worse. And so I think collectively, in like your little group or your close-knit friends that you have as players, there's the whole saying that we've been told now for years, the see something, say something, right? Then it has to be say nothing, do something. Like, you got to be protecting each other. And you know, it's like, if some guy needs to go out, you got to kind of protect your buddy. But there's going to be rats. You know, there's going to be people like, oh, I saw so-and-so out, and they're going to tattle on them. And it becomes this thing. Like, that's, you're seeing this now in just regular parts of society. And I think that same thing can end up happening with professional sports, you know?
Well, the one thing I'll say, and I don't think we talked about this with the NBA, too, is that when these guys get back, particularly the NHL, they're going to be in playoff mode, you know? And so I think that's a time when they sort of suspend their normal lives to a degree anyway. I know this is different, obviously, being contained in a bubble. But that would be one of the things that I would look at, is like, well, you're in playoff mode anyway. And it might help some guys in terms of being able to focus. So maybe that's sort of the upside of it. But I will say this, you know, NHL players, any professional athletes, right? A lot of them like to go out after the games and blow off steam. And I remember 2 years ago, I was in Pittsburgh for a Patriots-Steelers game. And I went to this steakhouse that was near my hotel. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of the Penguins happened to just walk in. And I actually had a very nice conversation with Derek Brassard, who at that point was on the Penguins. He isn't anymore. But about, you know, football and like other stuff. And you could tell that they came to this place all the time and that people knew them. And they came to this place all the time after games. So where are they going to go after a game in the Vegas bubble?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, so I mean, there is a part of that for them that
maybe
is
they
part
have
of the
one
routine,
those.
You know, part of the routine. It's part of not just socializing, but
maybe
part
there's
of
one
sort
of those,
decompressing just, after games.
Well, now that they have a you know, the team out there, and guys have become a little more accustomed to playing NHL games in Vegas, now that the Knights are there, maybe they have a, you know, strip steak or whatever, you know, name a play steakhouse that those players always go to, those road teams. And they just want to be able to go there. Even if it's just that, they don't have to be up to like no good and go into strip clubs or whatever the hell it is, like just to blow off some steam and have a steak and have a bottle of wine with your teammates. Like,
yeah.
They either got to loosen it up, the restrictions a little bit, or just tell these guys on the sly. Like, you know, you put it out there and be like, you know, just so everyone doesn't freak out, you can appease the masses in the medical community by saying, like, yes, complete lockdown. It's just going to be hotel to the venue to hotel, back and forth. But on, it's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like,
that'll never work, though. With first of all, Vegas seems to be mostly open. And with the prevalence of cell phones, someone's going to take a snap and send it to TMZ Sports. Oh, you know, I saw these guys from, you know, the St. Louis Blues were out at this steakhouse, and it's, you know, down the strip from where their hotel is.
Yes, the surveillance society that we now
surveillance
live in.
Society.
It is.
Like
it's
that.
What we now live in, Chris. And it's and it's not the man. It's you and me. It's what we see in the mirror every single day. Wow, Jim, you're talking like Kyrie.
That's why I have to say I have a high level. I know when this first started, you went on this whole tirade about the sneaks. I have a high amount of respect for the sneaks in today's society because there's just the phones are everywhere, man. Like you have to be like James Bond.
Oh yeah. No, there needs, you know, the last long-winded Batman movie
with Bane,
where he's got that little gimmick.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, the Dark Knight Rises, where Batman has that gimmick that like shuts down all the electronic equipment in the vicinity.
Yeah,
like, that's what needs to exist. Like, that's the only way you can do anything nowadays if you're gonna try to get away with crap, whether it's you know. Whatever, for the sneaks. Like, that's the piece of equipment that
needs to
exist.
Someone who wants to, like, you know, sneak out to Encore to gamble when they're not supposed to. Or like
you hit the button. Pew, I saw Big Jim. Pew. No, you didn't. You didn't see crap.
I'm a little fearful of you having that type of power. I think that would be a problem.
Oh, right, yeah. You mean Jim was trying to go play poker last night? Pew. You didn't see him last night. No. You're supposed to be quarantined. You're supposed to be. You didn't see nothing.
Big Jim, you're not wearing a mask. I'm going to take a photo.
You didn't see anything. What you're talking about? Shut your damn mouth. And I just now, like, I can't get it out of my mind. I just want to do Jerry Jones, just trying to get into Studio 54 now. And so, what do you? I got all the money in the world. We don't let in cowboys like you. I just saw the Village People go in, and there was a cowboy in there. Well, he's a different kind of cowboy, Jerry. I don't know if you're one of those kind of cowboys. I just got to get into that Studio 54, damn it.
So many hoes and so many drugs in there. I was on Dallas. I am Dallas. Damn it.
617-779-0985 is usually what is thrown out there when we've run out of things to say. I have. And if you would like to join the show, have at it. Chris has some thoughts about the Patriots. We will get to those coming up next here. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. All right, what's this burr in your saddle? You got about the Patriots and the narrative surrounding the team, and specifically the offense and Jarrett Stidham right now, Chris.
Yeah, Jim, you know, obviously there was a report that Mike Reese, outstanding reporter, put out there about the Patriots. The Patriots feeling like their offense could run more efficiently this season without Tom Brady being there and with, we assume, presumably, Jarrett Stidham at the helm. And this one bothered me just because when I look at that offense from last year, where are the significant upgrades? I see that they subtracted the greatest quarterback of all time, who was incredibly frustrated and limited by the lack of pass-catching talent around him. I know they drafted two tight ends, but for them to be a better offense, you're telling me that what is going to have to happen when you actually break it down? Like, it's one thing to say this, we think we'll be better, more efficient, whatever, but break it down for me how it's actually going to happen. And for it to actually happen, there are a couple of things that would have to happen. One, Jarrett Stidham, who's never started an NFL game, would have to come out and play at a very proficient level as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Also, Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene, two rookie tight ends, would have to come out and immediately play at a proficient NFL starter level for this offense to be better and to be more efficient. The third possibility, Damian Harris, who barely played last year, would have to come out, play this year and establish himself as a Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, game-changing type of running back. And so it's one of these things that the Patriots can just throw out there, I feel like, from a propaganda standpoint, and we start discussing it, and it sort of goes unquestioned by most fans. Like, explain to me how the offense is going to be better without Tom Brady, without any really significant proven additions.
I get your point. I tend to think it could, though. I'm not saying,
okay,
this is where I'm going to ride the fence. But it could, only because, like, while I think that these guys, like a Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry, you know, just based on his size alone, I don't think he's a very fast guy. And I think you mentioned yesterday, like, the wide receivers as a whole, their inability to get really any separation.
Oh, yes.
The statistics that back this.
Oh, yes. I can give
stats.
You that stat if you want.
Please.
And I'm not going to take credit for Evan Lazar. CLNS Media had this. He tweeted this in January. Average separation at time of throw on all routes for the six Patriots receivers that ran at least 100 routes. The league average, 2.997. Let's call it 3 yards of separation. Now, the highest rated guy for the Patriots was Julian Edelman at 2.82. The lowest rated guy, and the lowest rated guy in the league among the 143 receivers that ran at least 100 routes last year, N'Keal Harry, 2.21. Now, this stat's not everything. You'll find guys in there like DeAndre Hopkins who don't create quite the separation you would think. And I think part of it is based on the routes that you run. Like the routes that Edelman runs, creating 2 yards of separation is a lot on the routes that he runs. But when you look at N'Keal Harry, Myers was at 2.72. The bottom line is Brady didn't have guys that were really, he had to throw guys open or the throws had to be really precise. And for the offense to be more efficient, you're going to tell me that Stidham comes in the league and can immediately make all those same throws or can make them better?
No. I think the continuity aspect is what I think where you could see this thing maybe look a little bit better, because it just felt like it was a car that kept stalling time and again last year. They really only, to me, had two, maybe three games where the offense looked really proficient. The opener against Pittsburgh, the late game against Buffalo. It's like, oh, they're kind of clicking on all cylinders here. For the rest of it, it was just like stop, start. Like, really couldn't pick up third downs, third and six, third and seven. It was just, and some of that was on the play calling too. But I do think a large part of that, Chris, I do, even though I'm for the most part, a Brady Bobo, is that he freaks some of those guys out. I'm not the biggest Jacoby Myers guy, but Myers even said late in the season, like, I'm basically freaked out by Brady. I don't want to let him down. So I think he got tight. And I know you got to take what you see in the preseason with a grain of salt, but it did seem like he and Jarrett Stidham had a thing. So it's preseason, I know, and you're playing against lesser talent, but maybe it's just, you know, he's a little bit more comfortable in his second year. If Stidham can actually just be baseline, I think it could, especially when you consider the offensive line, and if they're healthy, look a little bit better. Does that mean they're going to put up points, more points than they did in 2019? No, but I think there's a chance that it could run a little bit more smoothly than it did last year. I think.
But what does that mean, though? Because then we start to have a discussion, and it's like, okay, you know, do I think they're going to put up more points? No. And Belichick, anytime Belichick gets asked anything about the offense, like, would you like to run the ball better? Or are you concerned, you know, that Tom Brady was held under 100 and whatever yards passing on 38 throws against Buffalo? He will always say, we put the offense out on the field for one reason and one reason only. That's to score points. That's how we evaluate it. So explain to me how it's better or more efficient if you feel like they're not going to score more points.
Well, there's the conundrum, I guess. I think there's a chance that their third down efficiency numbers could probably be better than last year. I'd like to think if the offensive line is healthy and looking a little bit more like it did at the end of 2018, and there's a better rapport for some of the young wide receivers and Jarrett Stidham.
Sure.
But I get your point. I mean, they would be certainly, look, bottom line is they'd be better, I think, with Brady here. There's no question about that. He would need to be a little bit more committed than he has been. Either way, it does feel like it's propaganda. More than anything else, it just feels like it's propaganda for the offense, and this is coming from Belichick more than anything else. Like, I don't think that this
And probably Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I don't think this is, you know, Mike Reese going rogue.
No. Mike's doing a great job. Yeah. I mean, this is great information that nobody else has, and he's reporting what the team feels.
Yeah.
You know, Mike's not saying he feels that way. He's saying this is how the team feels, and it's great reporting, and it's a great talker. I'm glad he brought this topic to the table.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's how they – and I think it shows a little bit of hubris of the team, and maybe also one of the reasons Brady is gone is that I think Belichick and McDaniels sort of feel like, well, we don't need a Tom Brady to win. We don't even need a Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember now, Josh McDaniels in Denver, he had Kyle Orton as his quarterback, and they won their first six games. And how often have you heard, and you know where it's coming from, how often have you heard since Brady left this sort of regurgitation of, oh, remember the Jacoby Brissett game? Or what about the 2008 season? You know, what they don't mention about 2008, a season that I covered when they went 11-5, is that Matt Cassel basically inherited the same offense that Tom Brady set all kinds of records with and threw 50 touchdown passes. And he was set up in that offense. What you also don't hear about the Matt Cassel 11-5 is that he then left New England. Turned out he was actually a decent quarterback, made a Pro Bowl with another team without McDaniels or Belichick, and took a team to the playoffs without McDaniels or Belichick. So it also turned out that he just was, you know, a much better quarterback than a lot of us probably thought. But instead, the narrative is like, oh, they took this guy and won 11 games. Oh, they won this game, this one game with Jacoby Brissett. You know what's funny? You know what they don't tell you? Is what about the next game against Buffalo when a team had tape on Jacoby Brissett and could game plan for him? I believe the Bills, didn't Rex Ryan and the Bills shut them out?
Yeah.
At Gillette? Wasn't that a shutout loss?
Yeah, and another thing that's forgotten about that one game that Brissett
Houston. Irvin muffed a punt and a kickoff for Houston.
And Houston's buses were like rerouted or they were late. Like they were completely unprepared for that game.
Oh, totally. Because I think Bill O'Brien had them stay in Quincy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they were late getting to the stadium. But also, but remember the times they had the short field, because I think Tyler Irvin in that game muffed two kicks.
Yeah, no, he did. He did. But it was all about Jacoby Brissett. A nice little story. But, you know, this is spin. It's a lot of spin. And now it's really starting to get a bit ridiculous with Jarrett Stidham, Chris. I mean, I think this started last year around this time with OTAs and the training camp. And it's like, we've never seen a rookie quarterback look this good at camp. It's like, okay, what's happening here? And now it's getting ridiculous. The latest, Tom Keegan. I don't know if you saw this, a Boston Herald.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like Tom.
Me too.
I'll be honest, I support the Herald as a former a newspaper writer. But I just want them to fix their website, because every time I try and click on one of their stories, it literally crashes my computer.
Their website's a complete disaster, and it always has been. And it's like something from 1998. The only thing missing is the dial-up sound. Christ. But I want to get your thoughts on this, because all you need is really the headline, Chris.
Okay.
Keegan, and the best AFC East quarterback is Jarrett Stidham of the Patriots. Like, what are we doing? We'll get to this coming up next.
Excellent.
More Pats propaganda here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.